Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in cloudy and warming New Jersey, along with my co-host and friend, JJ Sefton. JJ, how is it in maybe not so cold Wisconsin right now?
Yeah, it's not as cold. It's actually, we're in a bit of a warming trend. It is sunny and bright today. And it's, by today or tomorrow, it should be in around 40-ish. And I think supposedly in a few days, they say maybe even 50, which is incredible. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And there's my cat in the background, in case you heard her.
Oh, how nice. So my problem is that I was away when this snowstorm hit. And by the way, it wasn't a catastrophe. We got maybe 14 inches, 16 inches at the most. But I had somebody plow my driveway, and there's this 5 foot high mound of snow at the end of the driveway, which I worked on with my snowblower, but it's still pretty goddamn big. And I mean, it's going to be there until May, I think. So it's going to be a mess.
If
But
you get
aside
a
from
spate of
that,
yeah, if you get a spate of warm weather, yeah, well, it'll hopefully melt for you.
yeah, one of the things that I like so much about this kind of snow and then cold is that the snow doesn't melt and it doesn't get dirty and gross. It's this winter wonderland that is just marvelous. And I don't know, that's why I live in the Northeast. So anyway, so there's a fair amount going on, but I would like to talk about carbon dioxide. I know it's everybody's favorite topic. So let's talk a
Yes.
bit about that. And apparently, it is no longer a poison, which I think is very exciting.
No, it never was, but that's another story. Yes, back in the halcyon days of the Obama years of destruction, because he couldn't get his climate change legislation passed, he just by edict declared carbon dioxide to be a dangerous quote unquote greenhouse gas and pollutant, and used that as an excuse to literally wreck our economy by all these onerous regulations on vehicles, on appliances, on everything. And it's just was ridiculous. And Donald Trump, God bless him, issued an executive order repealing that madness. And basically, just saying CO2 is not a pollutant. We don't need these onerous regulations that would cost and has cost the economy. They claim at least $1 trillion. It's probably double or even triple that when you really add up the cost to it. Yep. Here it is.
What's
President Trump's
interesting, though,
EPA
is
agency repeal an Obama era rule called the endangerment finding, which categorized carbon dioxide, CO2, and other quote unquote greenhouse gases as a threat to public health, which is idiotic.
if you look at the fossil record, you will discover that the Earth has had carbon dioxide, obviously, throughout its history, its natural history. And there have been many, many times during our billions of years of records that show that we've had much, much more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And apparently we handled it rather well. So the idea that it is a poison, that it should be eliminated from our from the atmosphere is specious and obviously, blatantly, overtly political.
Yep.
The goal, of course, is
CO2.
not to improve the environment. The goal is to redistribute wealth and bring on world socialism. That might sound histrionic, but that is actually the case.
Yeah, by trying to control the emission of CO2, which, by the way, is plant food, hello,
Yeah.
you impose onerous regulations on industry. It is ridiculous. And by removing, yeah, it's as our friends at the Heartland Institute write, of carbon dioxide, which is required for life on Earth and also happens to result from every single bit of human and animal activity on the planet, is not a pollutant and never was. Hear, hear, bingo, bingo, bingo. That is absolute truth, my friends. And in fact, the more CO2 that's in the atmosphere, you get it. Yep, as my cat agrees, you actually get a boost in the growth of
In plant growth,
plant
yeah,
material.
it's very
And
obvious.
plants, when they take in CO2, give off what, ladies and gentlemen? Oxygen, which is what human beings and animal life need to survive. So ridiculous.
It
So
is
thank God
ridiculous.
for that. But of course, as many of our readers have pointed out, well, if God forbid a President Newsom or whoever, they'll probably repeal that on day one and reinstitute it. But it is ridiculous. But again, if business can move ahead and not have to worry about it, there might be some pushback against that because it'll just totally screw up industry and how industry can go forward. If they have to all of a sudden try to eliminate the carbon dioxide from their emissions, it would just, that would truly ruin the economy, and that might ruin their chances for a re-election if, God forbid, they do get elected, and not a President Vance or whomever.
Well, if the EPA ends the climate pollution rules governing cars and trucks, I think that we have a shot at actually decreasing the ridiculous price of the typical automobile in the United States, because the prices have gone crazy, certainly in large part because the government has larded on a bunch of crap mandated for new builds. I think you remember this interlock device that they pushed. I don't know, keep drunk drivers off the roads or kids off the roads or something like that.
Yes. It was, yeah, there was a, it was supposedly, yeah, there was going to, the government was going to control when you can turn on the ignition or whatever
Yeah.
to prevent drunk driving. That,
And
good
they would
God.
never ever misuse that because I trust
No,
our
of course
government.
not.
Yeah.
No, of course. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, this is very, very good news, folks, and I hope we get more of it.
Yes,
So what else is
if
going on?
Well, if this alone, I will say, I mean, whatever Donald Trump's faults or whatever, this is just, this alone is definitely, along with foreign policy stuff and many other things, is really puts him up there in the pantheon, I think, of our greatest presidents,
I agree.
if hope
I
and this will
absolutely
last.
agree.
This is a absolute kneecapping of government overreach, and that's why I voted for him 3 times.
So,
The other thing that's going on is, I think we wanted to touch upon, speaking of Donald Trump, and they tried to tar and feather him, it's the whole Epstein affair, which is seems to be coming to a head.
it is, and it's wonderful that after years and years and years of examining the minutiae of the many millions of pages of documents revolving around the Epstein mess, Donald Trump was discovered to have ratted him out to the cops because he was so disgusted by Epstein's behavior toward young women. That's the extent of our president's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. He did the right thing. And he did the right thing when nobody else was doing the right thing because Jeffrey Epstein had a lot of money and had apparently a fair amount of influence and had many connections throughout the country and the world. But Donald Trump didn't care. He called the cops, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and it's a reflection of his personality, and it's a very, very positive one.
Yes, and there goes that meme that Donald Trump is a pedophile and a criminal and this and that. Well, of course, they'll still be hawking that to
Yeah,
death,
that'll never end.
but it'll never end. But they have to tread lightly now because it is really, you're getting into slander or libelous
Good.
territory.
I
But
hope they over. I hope they overstep.
and Donald Trump is not shy about hurling lawsuits at the
No.
media. That
So
good
it's
on him.
interesting, though. It has crossed the Atlantic, and there is obviously involvement in the upper reaches of British government with Jeffrey Epstein and Keith Starmer, who is the feckless. Actually, he's not feckless. He's actually quite effective, but. The sleazy, beyond belief, New World Order scumbag prime minister that Labour has chosen is in a lot of hot water. Whether he weathers the storm, I don't know. I hope he doesn't. But let's not pretend. If they get rid of Keith Starmer, the Labour Party will nominate and elect somebody who is equally sleazy and possibly smarter. Which bodes ill for the United Kingdom. So while I
Yeah.
enjoy the pain of the Labour Party, and I hope that the Reform Party takes advantage of it, the possibility of a general election in the UK before the scheduled one in I think it's August of 2029 or July of 2029 is minuscule. It's just not going to happen,
Right. I
unfortunately.
am, yeah, I am no expert on British politics, but from what I understand, Nigel Farage and the Reform Party have garnered a lot of defections from the conservative, the Tories. Is it the Tories? Who, the British conservatives, and
Well, let's not go
he's
overboard. The Tories are not
not no,
conservative.
or I forgot who, whichever the
No, no, no,
conservative
no. I mean, they call
it is,
themselves conservative,
the conservative,
but
right.
they're not conservative.
Right, but at least if they're if he is gaining in popularity, let's say, and getting defections, and that's certainly good news for Farage, and hopefully good news for England, and that hopefully they can get rid of these horrible, horrible leftists that are
Well,
in power now,
my
if
friend, I hate to rain on your parade, but
yeah, I
I
know.
don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you look at the polling in the United Kingdom, the Reform Party gets about 30% of the support. The Conservative Party gets about 15% of the support, which means that the United Kingdom has a majority of profoundly stupid anti UK voters. So that's
Well, there
not
you
going to
go.
change overnight. Whether and the Reform Party has sort of stuck at 30%. 29%, 32%, 31%, that kind of crap. But it's slightly less than one third support. And
That is a shame.
it's a terrible indictment of the depths to which England, the United Kingdom, has sunk. But
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe it'll
We
work out.
shall
And
see.
I love the United Kingdom. I go to London as often as I can. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful country that is rapidly circling the drain. The last time I was there was maybe 3 weeks ago, and I swear to God, there was more Urdu and Pashtun being spoken on the tube than English. And you walk around even in nice neighborhoods, and you see this third world aesthetic that is really, really unpleasant. So
Well, yeah, and it's not, it's, I mean, it's not necessarily the people. Well, it is the people, but it's not necessarily what you're seeing, but it's what they represent and what they are doing. They are bringing Islam and into what was a cradle of civilization, and turning a cradle of civilization and Western culture into an Islamic hellhole. And that is just, that will happen, I'm afraid. The lights will go out in England, and Westminster will become another Hagia Sophia. But so be it. That's what they want. So they brought it on themselves, sadly.
Sefton, we have talked about this a lot,
Yes,
and
many times.
I
So.
used to be optimistic, and I am no longer optimistic about the future prospects of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
I think you are correct.
Sad.
So, yeah. Anyway, so let's move on
So.
to something else, something a little more interesting, and or a little less depressing than the demise of the
Yes.
United Kingdom. So Elon Musk owns a company called SpaceX. Everybody's heard of that. And he's figured out how to launch big stuff into space a lot. He does it frequently, safely, relatively cheaply, which is amazing to me. He has far, far surpassed anything that NASA is able to do. There's no country on Earth that can do it the way Elon Musk can do it. And he has shifted, interestingly, away from his fixation on Mars. And he is now going to the moon. Now, my guess is that he is going to build bases on the moon for his Mars expeditions. But
Yeah.
in the grand scheme of things, it's fascinating. I don't know that it means anything, but it's just great, and it's a testament to what the United States of America can do when the government doesn't have control over the process. NASA worked very, very well up through Apollo, but then it became just another government department, and it turned to shit. And SpaceX stepped in, Elon Musk stepped in with a big fat checkbook and a fanatical focus on quality rather than DEI. And that's what you get when you take the best of America and you say, go to the moon, launch rockets. He does it, and it's wonderful.
He does it, and he does it con gusto. My goodness. Our very dear friend and friend of our blog, who has his own wonderful science blog, you should look him up and bookmark him, Robert Zimmerman, and his blog called BehindTheBlack.com, with a focus on space and science mostly, has chronicled the rise of free enterprise in space, which has been spearheaded primarily by SpaceX and Elon Musk. And I'm glad he's focusing on the moon, but to use as a base for Mars, I think, is a fool's errand because, unfortunately, the science, and I've seen it's just going to Mars presents so many, many, many hurdles that technology alone, and of course, billions of more money than Elon Musk for sure has, presents, it's almost insurmountably. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but within our lifetimes, and certainly it's just a waste of time and a waste of effort. I think if we can exploit the moon and exploit low Earth orbit and perhaps mining asteroids, that is a good thing. But Mars presents so many science and biological problems and physical problems of going there and establishing, if it's just as an opportunity to plant the flag and to do selfies there and to whack a few golf balls, it's probably not going to happen. But good on, anyway, I am happy for Elon Musk, and he is definitely a national treasure, and he does it better than anybody else, including any government on the planet, whether it's the Chinese or America or whoever. And so Starlink is a credit to him, and so many other things, and his SpaceX and the lift capabilities of his rockets are just, that is going to be very good for free enterprise and for the American economy and the growth of this nation going forward into the next 30, 40 years. Mars, I don't think is going to happen, but everything else, fantastic. Good on Musk.
Well, I disagree. I think Mars is going to happen. Whether it is a successful outpost of humanity is, I think you're probably right about that. But I think he's going to get to Mars before he does. Well, not him, obviously, but somebody.
Well, I mean, a manned, I'm talking about a manned mission. I don't think, I mean, it
Yes.
presents, yeah. Robots and robotic devices, yes, absolutely should be sending them, sure, absolutely. But manned missions, that's it. There's a great, if you can catch it, there's a wonderful, one of our great theoretical physicists named Leonard Susskind. He has a channel on YouTube, and if you could search it out, he goes into why we will probably not be going to Mars, at least on a manned mission, and it's worth watching. So, but anyway, be that as it may.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Starlink, which I think is a
Yes.
fascinating business. It has provided internet connectivity to places that never had it before, and at a relatively reasonable cost, which I think is fantastic. And it is also a great tool against authoritarianism. Obviously, we see it in Iran because that's how some of these people are getting their videos out, is via Starlink, because the mullahs, the savage dictators who are running Iran right now, have cut the internet, but they can't cut Starlink. Now they're not stupid people, and they figure out who is transmitting information over Starlink, and they go after them. But it is there, and it is helping the Iranian people to throw off the yoke of the maniacal Shia Twelver savages that are running Iran.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yes, and it, yeah, Elon. Yeah, so for that, Elon Musk is to be given all praise and kudos for his help in that regard. And it is, look, it's again, it's free enterprise in space and at work, and it's the free enterprise system. It's a good thing.
And it worked well. Anyway, so I noticed something in the news. Well, everybody knows that California is talking about enacting a tax on their wealthiest residents. Anybody who has, I think, what, $1.1 billion or more will get hit with a, who knows, 5%, 10%, 80% tax. You know, this is California. It could be confiscatory. And I saw an interesting comparison with the French wealth tax that they just kicked off a couple of years ago. And the receipts are decreasing markedly because, as everybody with half a brain understands, the wealthy have excellent tax advice. They are more mobile and they are free to move anywhere they want because that's sort of the definition of wealth. And the French are discovering to their chagrin that their wealthiest people are leaving, and they're not leaving their money. They're taking it with them. So that's obviously going to happen in California if they vote this in. And of course they will, because, you know, why not stick it to the man?
Yeah, and there's also, and there's been talk for many years, and I think they tried doing it. They tried instituting literally an exit tax. Like if you leave, if you move out of California and take up residence somewhere else, the Sacramento is going to try to pick your pocket long distance, which is just, God, you talk about, I mean, we fought a revolution for less than this, you
Yes.
know, 250 years ago. This is just, you know, it's madness. It's absolute madness.
That's an interesting point. So if I move out of California and they tax me on income that I make outside of California because I once lived there, I mean, I'm not represented by anybody in California. So how can they? I mean, that is the epitome, as you point out, taxation without representation.
Yep. It is, well, they can try, and you know, who knows if they'll actually succeed. It depends on some judge somewhere upholding it. I mean, and again, they'll go after the banks. They'll force the banks to maybe, you know, whatever, freeze your accounts until you fork over the money or who knows what.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that'll, you know, well, he'll drive all the banks out of the state. There you go. If they have a, if Jamie Dimon has an inkling of patriotism, which I would, who knows, I doubt it. But, you know, it's just these people are absolute thugs and tyrants. There's
Well,
no.
we've talked about JP Morgan or Chase and Jamie
Right.
Dimon, and I think he is a patriot. That new initiative, SRI, is very interesting. You know, if trying to fund strategically important industries in the United States.
Yes.
And I think that should be the default for banks. That should be one of the things that they look at. But we'll see. Well, you know, it's
Yeah,
at the end of the
you
day, it's how much money they can make. And that's fine. That doesn't bother me at all. As long as it's not at the expense of the United States of America.
know. And I believe these are the, you know, the, and I believe California also tried or is attempting, I don't know if they actually passed it, the so-called reparations bill for black people.
Yeah, they talk about it all the time, and every, you know, every couple of months we see something in the news about it. I don't know that that's ever going to happen. Where are they going to get the money? I know that San
Exactly.
Francisco has talked about reparations. Although San Francisco is an interesting case because the black population of San Francisco has plummeted over the last couple of generations. Yeah, I know, because they're fucking snobs in San Francisco and they don't want black people around them, so got to get rid of them. Yeah, I
Well,
lived
and
near
then
San
you.
Francisco. I used to go into San Francisco a lot, and no thanks, I'll pass.
You know, I thought, what is it? Oakland. It would right there, isn't, I thought Oakland was the was a very large black community, and it's right across the bay, unless I'm
Oh
mistaken.
yes. Oh yeah. Oakland has been a shithole. I moved to California a long, long time ago, and I lived next to Oakland, and then I lived in Oakland for a while, and it's an amazing shithole. I mean, it's stunning, and apparently it's gotten much, much worse since I left a long time ago. So, yeah. Progressive politics. I mean, it's a guarantee to destroy anything good. So,
Yeah, well, as we all know, well,
Well, speaking
Good
of
luck out in New York.
destroying, things that are good, the NFL apparently had a big game on Sunday night, and I'm joking, of course. The Super Bowl was on Sunday night, and I watched it. I watched most of it. I didn't watch the halftime show for two reasons. One, I find Bad Bunny, is that what his name is, to be vile, and two, I just don't like that kind of entertainment anyway. But it was particularly disgusting. I saw little videotapes of it and photos, and it was vile beyond belief. But listen, folks, Seth and I were talking about this before we started recording, and we both agreed it's just a goddamn game. Stop making it some cultural icon. It isn't. It's the championship game of the National Football League. It's not the end of the world. It's simply a game. And the number of people who are emotionally invested in it, especially this time, is relatively small. Seattle and Boston are two relatively small markets. So it's not like the Giants were playing the Texans or whoever. But the NFL is very, very good at expanding the cultural footprint of their product. And I find that far more disgusting than the what they have done to the game of football. So, what do you
Well,
think, Sefton?
whether or not the NFL did this or not, I just look back years and years ago, because I used to be a very big New York Giants fan and somewhat of a New York Jets fan. But in any event, what was always nice about the Super Bowl was not the halftime shows and all that nonsense, but how it sort of naturally at some point, maybe probably after the first several Super Bowls with the Green Bay Packers and the Raiders, it evolved into sort of a thing that people wanted to watch naturally just because of the game. And it became a thing where you gathered at a friend's house or you gathered at someone's house and you had a party and you made it into sort of a get together thing and a fun time to gather around and root for whatever team you wanted to root for, regardless of if the team was your home team or not. And so that natural evolution of the Super Bowl and the playoffs later on into that kind of a cultural thing, I found was good, and it was quite nice. And I enjoyed going over to people's houses and, having some burgers or having some chili or something, or having some snacks and a beer and hanging out. That was fun. But yes, when it later devolved into the cultural, pornographic halftime shows that it did, yeah, that was horrible. And just the whole attitude of, the players with the whole kneeling and for the national anthem and all that. Yeah, that whole degeneracy, that was a big turnoff. But when it was naturally a fun time to get together and watch a game, it would be nice if it came back to that. Will it? Who knows?
I don't think it will. I think that the typical professional athlete has changed radically since the beginnings of the Super Bowl, the 70s. These guys,
Between Michael
you
Vick
could see
and
them walking
Plaxico
down the street
Burress
in the
and
70s and the 80s. Nowadays, they all are multimillionaires and they're taking private jets and limos and shooting each other and raping women and all the usual fun stuff that
beating up their
athletes do.
fiancés in elevators and dog fighting and yeah, I mean, wonderful, and drug dealing and
Yeah. And the cost the cost of the typical ticket for a professional game has increased markedly too. So it's more of a corporate event for many, many people. And I think that we have lost that connection to the games, the various games, hockey and baseball and football and basketball. And it has become an event rather than a social lubrication. You get some buddies over, you watch a baseball game, you watch a football game, you watch a basketball game. Anyway, I'm just being a curmudgeon now. Ignore me, folks.
But no. I think you make a valid point, and I do agree with that. And I kind of mourned that. But hey, whatever. It is what it is, and life goes on. Things evolve or devolve, as the case may be. And there it is.
Yeah. All right. Both Sefton and I have Places to go, things to do. So we are going to cut this one relatively short. We didn't babble like maniacs. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for hitting our tip jar. Thank you very much for commenting, both at Ace of Spades and at our website, cutjibnewsletter.com. And we will see you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Indeed, CBD and CBD and all of you. Yeah, well, I'll get my whatever. I'll get it out. Thank you all, and God bless you all for your continued love and support. We really appreciate it, and just for all you do for us, and just for being there. So comment, reach out, give us tips if you have any story suggestions. Always send us an email. You can find our emails. You know where to reach us. And we will see you again on the next one next week with all the news that's fit to babble about from around the world, across the nation, and up your street, right here at the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. Ciao, everybody.
Thanks for listening, folks.